Our guest will be alongside Jones Angel on the Tar Heel Radio Network. You might remember he played a little. McDonald's All-American, two-time All-American at UNC, including their national title season of 93, almost 500 games in the NBA. Our pleasure to welcome in Eric Montross. Eric, thanks so much for the time. How you doing?
Doing well. It's a pleasure to be with you guys in this exciting weekend.
You know, I mentioned that 93 national title. Many may refer to it as the Weber timeout game, but it was the second and final championship for Dean Smith, ironically beating Roy Williams' team in the national semis. But when you think about Carolina, as great a program as there's ever been, that coach being such an important part of that, what has that meant to you personally the past 24 years? And have you had to buy a beer in Chapel Hill since?
Well, I'll tell you, certainly we've got some rampant fans, and so it's been, you know, we've been able to relive that memory for the past 25 years. That's the good news for me, is that it's easy to relive good memories. But it was a real treat to play for Coach Smith and to be a part of that championship team in 93. For those folks who have been a part of championship teams, the bond that is shared by that group of players is quite unique, and so that's been the case for us here in Chapel Hill. So it's fun to be back in a different capacity as a broadcaster, but it never gets old thinking back to what it was.
Eric, not a lot of us can relate to what Luke May is going through right now. Having a great tournament already, then he hits that game winner against Kentucky. 12 hours later, he returns to class and gets a standing ovation from fellow students. You went through similar stuff as a player at Carolina, beating Duke, winning a national title. What's that like as a player, returning to campus after a huge win? And I guess what would be your advice to May on how to handle situations like that?
Well, I mean, the good news is Luke's doing a great job. I mean, he's a great kid. He's come in and works very hard, and I think now is reaping the benefit of his hard work. And so, you know, he's been a very integral part of this team all season, just hasn't been a headliner. And certainly you turn into a headliner when you send your team to the Final Four on a last-second shot versus anybody, but particularly against another blue blood in Kentucky. So that's been a huge moment for him, to be sure. But he's a good young man, got his head squarely in the middle of where it needs to be, and I think he's enjoying the ride, but very cognizant that the ride can be short-lived if they don't put another one in front of him on Saturday against you guys. And it's you know, it's going to be an incredible challenge.
Talking Tar Heel Hoop with Eric Montross. You know, obviously this team's got an All-American, and historically, you know, UNC hoops almost unparalleled. I want to talk about Theo Pinson, who was out until February with foot surgery, re-injured, but now he's been in there regularly. He was a contributor last year. Eric, how big has it been having him in there? And as kind of a tag, what about his presence of mind not to force a shot and find May for that winner against Kentucky?
Well, I think from starting kind of at the end of your question, I would say that, you know, Theo is, as a junior, should have the wherewithal to make that decision. It's easy to get caught up in the moment to think you have an advantage and want to carry the burden and to make the game winner. But that's, you know, this team is a fast-paced team. They run. They know where their other players are. They know where their open outlets are. And he made a very good decision. Just it turned out that way. You know, maybe there would have been some second guessing had Luke missed the shot. But I think that, you know, certainly then you go to overtime and who knows what happens from there. But the fact of the matter is that Theo is the kind of guy that has a knack for passing. I mean, he had been in a little bit of a rut for the two games prior to the Kentucky game. And even up until the last 4 minutes of the Kentucky game had not had a spectacular game. But then hit back-to-back, two sets of back-to-back free throws that were one-on-ones, put the team in a position to have a chance to get back in it after being down, I think, 5 with 4 minutes left. And then, of course, comes up with that play at the end. But Theo is a good, creative player, an athletic player, and one that certainly has the team at the forefront of his mind.
back to that All-American Steve alluded to, Justin Jackson just named first-team All-American, 18 points, 5 boards per game. Basketball fandom kind of works in the bubble scenario. You don't really pay attention until you have to play them. So for all the Oregon fans who haven't really seen him much the past few seasons beyond just this March, what kind of player is Jackson, and what kind of problems will he create for Oregon?
Well, you know, Justin's tall. He's probably 6'8". He's thin. He's very fast in the open court. Does a pretty good job of coming off screens within the play schemes that Carolina has. He's also a guy that has a very quick release and but enough size to shoot over the top of most players. He also has the ability to take a couple of dribbles and pull up. And then I think the thing that he's made a real opening for himself offensively is that he's got a nice little floater in tight. It's not a shot that I think a lot of purists love because the floater has so much room for error, but he's got enough size and body control that he can elevate fairly well, and so he's got a couple of different areas that defense have to focus on. And obviously, if you're a shooter, that's one thing. If you're a shooter and a driver, it really gives you the opportunity to exploit those avenues together. So he's a good, talented player who is really shooting well at this particular moment.
Talking Tar Heels with Eric Montross. Obviously, this is an experienced team, and a couple of the freshmen, Woods, Brandon Robinson, you know, they get in there, but Tony Bradley is the first-year guy who plays the most. He was kind of an all-everything out of Florida. And while the numbers don't pop, and he probably plays 15, 17 minutes, how key has he been when he's in there, you know, helping out on that front line with Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah Hicks?
Yeah, well, Tony's a terrific player. He's a good young player, and I think for anybody that has watched the game of basketball for any length of time, you know, big men to just take a little while longer to mature because when you come in from high school, all of a sudden you're going into physically mature men, and you have to really learn how to play the physical game and still have the kind of the finesse and touch around the basket. Tony's good. He keeps the ball high. He's done a nice job for them all year with his positioning. And I think really offers kind of a back-to-the-basket presence with size that we haven't had.
You know, speaking of that size, Oregon lost Chris Boucher to his ACL injury during the Pac-12 tourney. It hasn't really hurt Oregon yet, but a lot being made this week about how Oregon might have finally met a matchup that will make his absence hurt. Basically, Carolina's size means the Ducks have to put 6'4 Tyler Dorsey on Jackson, who's 6'8", and that size overall is something the Tar Heels can kind of exploit. You know, Meeks, Hicks, Jackson, all over 6'8". Jordan Bell is Oregon's biggest starter at 6'9". Obviously, he's playing really well right now. But do you think the game plan for the Tar Heels this week against the Ducks will be just that simple, just kind of attack the middle and use their size?
Well, I think that the expectation would be that both teams would come into this game really trying to focus on the successes that have gotten them to this point. And certainly one of the successes that is that has been behind the momentum that the Tar Heels have is their interior play. They're deep. They're four post players deep. So, you know, we just got done talking about Tony Bradley. He's coming off the bench. And prior to that, we opened up talking about Luke May, and he's coming off the bench. So Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah Hicks are the first two, and they are very much a focal point of the offense for Carolina. And so I think that it won't necessarily be a change in perspective or in direction for the Heels, but opponents know going into the game that the first thing that the Tar Heels will look for is an inside game.
Final thought for UNC radio analyst Eric Montross. Always curious as to what the opposition has to say about this Oregon team. You know, they're on an historic run, 5 straight years in the Big Dance, Elite Eight, and now here. From what you've observed, what the coaches and the guys are saying, what's the buzz about the challenges this group of Ducks will present for Carolina?
Well, I think a couple of things. I mean, probably much like what you do or don't know about Carolina is about the same as what we do and don't know about the Ducks.
Yeah.
Because being on the opposite ends of the country, the media coverage just leans towards either the West Coast or the East Coast. You don't get quite the coverage of the opposite coast. So I think that we've certainly been keenly aware with the way that they've been playing terrific basketball all year long, and it's an attractive style of basketball that's a very athletic team. And I think what you notice immediately, obviously, is that there's not a great deal of depth. I mean, they're focusing on their starters, and as you've alluded to, I mean, you've got guys that come in off the bench, but the Ducks are probably the least deep team of any team in the NCAA as far as what they've gotten out of their bench during this tournament. And so there's a heavy focus on the starters, but they're very offensively capable. The matchup zone is something that I think stymies a lot of teams when they go up against them. And so I think it's you certainly look with a great deal of respect at what this Duck team has done and how they've done it, particularly after their latest win.
Eric, I know how busy you are this week. It really means a lot. You took some time to talk with us. Enjoy your time in Phoenix. You travel safely back to Chapel Hill. Continued success in all you do. And thanks so much to Double O and Tar Heel Teal.